Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations in art, culture and ideas. I'm here at CIMB's Arttober Hotel Art Fair and it's at the Element by Westin in Kuala Lumpur. I'm here to explore the many galleries and their display of their wares and their artists in an attempt to re-invite, revitalize the art market in Malaysia. I have with me Ismail Ani Arup, he's director of CIMB's Group Corporate Events, and the man behind this particular idea of bringing together galleries and a hotel. And also with me is Najib Bamadhaj, he's an artist who is represented by Taksu. And so we're in the room now, this is a hotel room as you can barely imagine it. It's full of art from the Taksu Gallery. Let's start with you, Ismail. Thank you so much for having me. And I know I kind of garbled the start of this thing by trying to understand exactly what the purpose of Arttober is. Maybe you could help fill that in.
Thanks. Well, CIMB Arttober is a partnership that we formed last year to promote the art scene in Kuala Lumpur. You know, the lockdown had caused a lot of damage to the galleries and to the artists. Traditionally, October would be a very busy month. We used to have the Art Expo, lots of exhibitions, but due to the lockdown, of course, everything was cancelled. So we responded to the market. We said, what can we do to raise the economic situation of the galleries, because they were hard hit as well as the artists. Mm-hmm. So we formed this fraternity comprising of 10 commercial galleries, the best in the country, and we did a campaign with them. So this year, the campaign will last for 3 months. It starts on 1st of October until 31st of December. And what we want to do is we promote these galleries, their shows, via digital content. We produce videos for them. We also tap into our database of the affluent segment to sell and to promote the local art scene. We want to build a gallery culture as well. So we want to encourage new collectors to experience, buying and collecting art.
Right. So, but this particular hotel art fair is only going for a couple of days, right? From 4th to 7th of November. The question is, you know, with a lot of the galleries, what happens after this? Do they just go back to their own spaces?
Yeah.
And then what happens? How do you work at sort of promoting those galleries then?
Well, we, in addition to the shows at the respective galleries, we wanted to create a new experience. So the hotel art fair actually has been in planning, in the works for months. So each gallery wanted to specially curate a show. A hotel art fair is rather common. It's been done quite frequently in places like Singapore, in Hong Kong, Taiwan. This is the first time it's held in this country. So we took an entire floor and of this wonderful hotel, and each gallery was given a suite or two, and they then had to curate a show and to sell art in hotel rooms. It's a new experience. It's also a way of inviting new collectors to experience this, because sometimes they feel a little intimidated to go to the galleries, so now we bring the art to a less threatening, less intimidating
space. Yeah, but because when one thinks of hotel art, one doesn't necessarily think of great art, or one thinks of pleasant, not disturbing, perhaps even forgettable art, right? I mean, it's just a pretty picture and often very generic. And I want to ask Najib, if you can jump in here. Your work, and these two pieces, very dark.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people will feel, you know, for you, do you think this is the art that would go into a hotel room?
Oh, yes, of course. When I was invited from Taksu to participate in this exhibition, I was thinking what kind of art I want to send here. So I think everyone knows Van Gogh. So then they're a bit catchy, kan? So I think it can attract more people to look at this painting. But I want to make something different, which is, this is not the real painting of Van Gogh, which is, it's made by me. So what is another version of Van Gogh I want to tell to everyone? So about my paintings, I turn it into black. Everything is black, including the frames, because we know Van Gogh's because of the punya sad story. Sian kan? So that's why I turn it into black. Tapi the form is still there. The flower is not, dia tak layu, dia still segar, the elegance is there, the element is there. That is what Van Gogh now.
Right. Okay. It is wonderful. And I want to come back to you, Izzy, about the choice. I mean, obviously you've left the galleries to choose the artist they want to represent, and in this case, the room is just chock-a-block. I mean, you would never have art on the bed, yeah, would you? But I guess the purpose really is to yeah. it's a kind of funky idea in many ways, right? Just walking through these spaces. What is the outcome for you? What are the deliverables on an idea like this? Is it sales? Is it awareness? What is it?
All of the above. I think, first of all, we want to democratize art. We want to make it more accessible to the public. Yesterday was our first day, and it was, you know, it was full, but we have SOP requirements and things like that. But it also created a buzz, and that's sometimes what the market needs, is a bit of unbridled optimism, a bit of buzz, and people were excited, they were curious. So there was that awareness. And secondly, of course, the sales have been very brisk. We're lending CIMB's name to a campaign like this also gave it a bit of maybe credence and credibility. I also have to add that this hotel art fair is supported by Cendana. So again, it is part of empowering our local artists.
And the creative industries.
And the creative
Very
industry.
Quickly, could you tell us all the galleries that are involved here? I mean,
there are nine galleries involved. So Taksu is one of them. We have A+, we have Artas, we have Cult Core Gallery, we have Taksu, G13, and Suma Orientalis, and two others.
Which will be available on digital form. Right, okay. It was very commendable that you got through most of that list. But okay, so I guess the show, by the time this show goes on air, this particular art fair will be over. What would you suggest to somebody who is interested to plug into the art market? Having seen the show now and seeing what's on display, what would you suggest they do?
I think the hotel art fair gives you a sample of what the galleries can do. And I think when you are thinking of buying and collecting art, one of the most important things that you have to do is to have a relationship with the gallerist, and then to see what's available in the market. So what you see right now in this show, some of the most exciting contemporary Malaysian artists that are doing work at the moment. There are also some senior works that are here, juxtaposed together. You also want to see how art transforms a space. So from a rather generic hotel room, now it becomes lively and energetic and dynamic. And also the relationship between the artworks itself. So if you are a collector and you're mixing your collection, you can see how a variety of artworks have this wonderful synergy that is created by placing artworks next to each other. So it's an education process. It's not just a credit card campaign, but it's also a collaborative effort between Cendana, CIMB, and also Yayasan Hasana. We want to create this art, culture, and heritage campaign. Hopefully, if it's a big bang, we might do it every year.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, and we'll be talking to you perhaps in the coming year. I know you have a couple of shows coming up, so good luck with that.
Thank you.
We're going to continue our discussion and a look around this CIMB's Arttober Hotel Art Fair in just a little moment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hi, and welcome back to Let's Talk. We're continuing our discussions at the CIMB's Arttober Hotel Art Fair. This is a collection of galleries that have come together to display their works and their artists. And so I'm going to speak now to Suryani Asanjar. She is the owner of Cult Gallery. And Suryani, tell me why did you, as a gallery owner, decide to participate in this particular venture by CIMB?
Thank you, Sharad. Cult Gallery has decided to participate because we've been in lockdown for quite a while, for many months. And as a result, a lot of shows were delayed. And the artists were excluded from their normal platforms. And therefore, there was less audience for physically viewing artworks, which is very important because to engage with the artwork, there needs to be presence, with facing the artwork. So I thought this is a great opportunity for people to come and see art for themselves physically and meet artists and collectors and be able to experience it physically, after a long time.
That's very interesting. You bring up a very interesting point because, during the pandemic, a lot of people moved online and there are a lot of things that can be sold online.
Yes.
But there's some experiences that are difficult, right? And art, and visual art in particular, is difficult because so much is lost. What do you think, you could just describe for our audience, what is lost when you don't get to, you might see the image on your computer screen or your device, but what is it that's missing?
I think what's missing is the emotional engagement with an artwork when you see it live, right? Because it's different when you visually can see textures that you can almost touch, for example, and the perspective. And the colors come out differently on screen, as we know, compared to live. And some works will look, astounding, on the screen, but a lot more subtle outside, for example, right? And sculpture, you totally lose the whole three-dimensional feeling when you see it on screen.
Even if you can rotate it, right?
Yes.
Okay, very quickly, tell us who are the artists who are here. And I know your gallery does a lot to promote young women artists. And tell us about that.
Yeah. I mean, Cult Gallery, consistently for the last 5 years, we've promoted especially young female artists, give them a special platform. We have today two young and upcoming artists dealing with two different mediums, Danny, performance art, and of course she couldn't perform physically for us for performance art, so we decided to present it on video. Binti, who's doing works on paper, and it's the first time she's exhibiting, and because they've been several months of lockdown, so it's been delayed. So I'm really glad that we have really young, this is the new generation artists, because they are also multi-talented and multidisciplinary. They're in media, they're in film, they write, and they also produce visual art.
Right, thank you very much. We're going to, in fact, speak to Danny Iliani, Yusuf and Binti right now. And so Danny and Binti have come to join me. Very excited to see some of your work. I mean, there's actually some really beautiful stuff here. Could you begin by saying a little bit about your practice, Danny, and what's here in the exhibition?
So today I exhibited a piece of my performance art that I did during the pandemic. I think that's one of the mediums that I focused most during the pandemic itself. But generally, I do a lot of visual arts, performance art, of course. I do poetry as well. I do films at times. And I come from a fashion background, so I do try to mix up all the different elements that I have learned. But I think the most of which I focus on would be performance art, fashion, and visual arts and contemporary art.
Okay, and Binti, what about your practice?
Right, so for me, it's pretty much a mix of a lot of things because I actually studied cinematic arts, but then I got into drawing, similar to a lot of my artist friends during the pandemic. It was quite lonely. So I was just delving into my own self and churning out whatever that came out of that. And during this process is when I found that it doesn't need to be that lonely, truly, yeah. When I found these characters and this style, of drawings that I'm actually exhibiting right now. I also do a lot of other things such as writing and film and the et cetera of the art genre.
Okay, yeah. So I want to ask you something that Suryani brought up, which is, you know, during the pandemic, there were limitations on exhibitions and being present, and I know with performance art in particular, it's you know, while it's on the television, it really has to be experienced in person, right? The body of the artist is so important, and so is the audience in that space, shared space. Did the pandemic teach you something about your own practice that you hadn't, that wouldn't have arisen if not for the fact that the whole world kind of shut down and the horizons got very dark?
Definitely.
Danny, was there something in your experience of the last year and a half?
Whoa, the pandemic was an experience in itself. I think for most of us artists, we would never imagine going through something like this in our lifetime. So, like, some of my friends, they tell me, like, this is, although a very dim situation to be in, it's also a very interesting situation to be in creatively, you know, because you are pushed to your boundaries to sort of grow in very dire times. So for me, what I realized is, again, I am a very, most of my works and projects are very interactive. So I value the connection and the engagement that I get from the other party, the viewers or the participants. So for me, it was about trying to find out a way to be more creative in how I approach my audiences so that they are not losing out on the whole entire experience. And definitely it's different to, you know, being virtually exhibiting and, you know, being physically in the space.
Right.
So I guess it's just
not everything can be sold on Shopee, right? Mm. Or experience through Shopee.
That's where you're wrong.
Binti, what about you? Did this moment that we're all in, did it push you, as Adani suggested, in interesting ways?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it helps you to be more open, I guess, because sometimes you might think like uploading things or exhibiting your work online virtually kind of decreases its value or something like that, because people are viewing it in this kind of light.
Like instead on Instagram
of,
or something.
Definitely, instead of viewing it in real life. But again, you got to get creative, and if that's your job scope, then hey, buckle up, and you got to get smart about that and be okay with it. Mostly, I think it's a series of being okay with a lot of things as they come, and you're just like, all
being
right.
Being adaptable?
Biting the bullet and just being like, whatever that comes your way, somebody shoots in your face and you're just like, all right, sure, I'm going to do this way now. Yeah, and just being okay with a lot of it.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to me again. Because I think, though our audience will not have a chance to kind of see this exhibition, they can always go to Cult Gallery and sort of keep up with you know, developments in your both in your professional careers,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you so much again
thank
for being
you.
Here.
Thank you
for
so having much. Us.
Right. So that was Danny Ilani Yusuf and Binti, and we'll be back with more. Stay tuned to Let's Talk. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm here at the CIMB Arttober Hotel Art Fair at Element by Westin. It's a hotel in Kuala Lumpur. And like all hotels, it's sometimes a place of assignation. Now, I've come to meet Amina Ibrahim here.
Hello.
Who's the curator of No Vacancy. It's part of, as we've been talking, one of the galleries represented at the art fair. This is A-plus Works of Art. But Amina has done something special in the two rooms that they've taken over, the two spaces rather. Amina, tell us about why this is more than just a display of the artist that A-plus represents. It's your curation of artists. Well, what exactly did you want to do by sort of framing it in that way?
Okay, so when we heard that it was a hotel art fair, I very much wanted to pick artists and their work that would create a dialogue between the work and the hotel room as an art space, right? So instead of it just being any other room or a gallery, what happens when you put art into a hotel room and the conversations that come out of it? So it's called No Vacancy because I was reminded of the hotels of the bygone era where you're driving and there's a sign that says vacant or not vacant. And it was perfect in the time of the pandemic as well, because there was always a relationship between hospitality and hospitals, right? The root word for hospitality is hospital. And so during a time when all of the hotels became quarantine spaces, I wanted to really pick artists and their work that would create a dialogue really for thinking about hospitality and capacities and subjectivity in that way.
Right.
So that's why it's curated.
So, okay, so that's very interesting because, you know, often when we come into a hotel room, there is art, but it tends to be kind of nondescript art or things that are, you know, we might dismiss and it doesn't even create an impression. But here around us, we have quite a bit of art. Some of it doesn't necessarily strike us as art, but what would you pick out a few and tell us what they represent or who the artist is?
Sure.
And why you thought they would sit well within the space.
Okay, so well, there's two rooms, right? And so the first room is like the Orang Besar room because it is the main bedroom. So in there, there'll be lots of artwork that is more about class and like the higher kind of class. And
the 1%.
Yeah, or like the luxuries, right?
Okay.
And so this room, the secondary room, will start to be thinking about the people who service the service industry. Because I didn't want there to be just a hotel thing where people don't think about the different intersections of classes. So we have Wiyoga's work here. And Wiyoga is an Indonesian artist. And he made this piece, Vizzy and Missy, out of resin. So it looks like styrofoam, but it's not styrofoam. And it shows like two political figures, you know, doing their usual posturing and with the styrofoam give out situation. Yeah, so, and then behind us as well, we have Izzat Arif's Qiblat. It's called the Wheel of Divine Importance. And it is a Qiblat, but it's kind of poking fun at it because there's also in every hotel room a Qiblat, right?
In Malaysia.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Malaysia. Every hotel room in Malaysia at least.
Yeah.
So Izzat was trying to make commentary about the very recent events where VVVVVIPs were allowed to go and break SOP. So you can spin the Wheel of Divine Importance and the Qiblat will turn and then it will point at like how VVVVIP you are accordingly. So that's what it means to like curate within a space. It's really to talk to the artist and to think about what subject matter they would like to focus on within the hotel room as well.
Right. And so, okay, so this is a suite, and we're actually just in as you say, the kind of the minor room of the suite. Could you describe what's, I know in the bathroom here, the bathroom attached, there's a piece, there's a work.
That, yeah, by Wiyoga.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about that, because we're going to show an image of that.
Oh, so that is the singer. And in it, you will see, it's also made out of resin. You'll see a figurine who is kind of to represent the Indonesian buskers and how their situation has become precarious because of the pandemic, because they can't go out and sing anymore. So she's kind of sinking in water. And that's, again, to represent like that level of precarity in her situation.
Right, and it's situated under a shower.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, so I placed that in the shower because that's where people usually sing. So
right.
The singer. So again, there's tongue-in-cheek. It's not all serious.
Right. Okay, and there's these associations. Now, in the other room, of course, there are objects of varying value, and the living artists, dead artists, Southeast Asian artists, and there's a piece with the name Picasso under it. So
yes.
Tell us about that, because I'm sure everybody is going to zoom in on that,
yeah.
Because it's probably one of the most famous names in modern art.
So the main room does have an original Picasso. It is a Picasso from 1952. It's his ceramic pieces. So Picasso did a lot of ceramics, and yeah, we happened to be able to procure one from a collector who's letting it go. And so it's just placed in the kitchen, as you would find any other kind of vase in a kitchen. And right next to it is more works where, like, there's an egg and there's a Mary Pakini's A Choice, which is a knife. So it's kind of where you would find naturally the object in a hotel room or in a domestic space, but they're all art.
Right. And, and people do come to these art fairs to buy. I mean, obviously it's being sold. When you kind of think about who comes and what they want out of the art, they're going to wrench it out from this context and put it into a different context. What kind of conversations are you having with them about the work itself?
Well, I tell them about the work, and if they're curious to know the context of the work, I tell them more. But equally, I actually think that putting works in a hotel room is a little bit easier to imagine the works in a domestic space versus putting it in a gallery. So it actually really works in terms of buying, right? Because all of the works, you can imagine it in your domestic space.
Right, as opposed to the gallery.
Yeah, which is just white walls.
White cube, yeah. White, okay.
So it's very different.
Okay,
and as we wrap up, maybe we have a quick look at the portraits there on the wall. Where these are just iconic figures, Yoko and John and Andy Warhol and Bruce Lee and Mahatma Gandhi, the Dalai Lama. Ai Weiwei, I think I can name all of them.
Yeah,
do I get a prize?
Incredible. Yes, you do.
Okay.
You get this.
It's actually very clever.
Yeah.
I like this.
So, okay. Yeah.
Tell us about those works.
This is Ahmad Fuad Osman's Dreaming of Being Somebody, Afraid to Be Nobody series. And so it's UV print on mirror because it's about the fickleness of fame. So actually, if you go up to it, you can see yourself reflected in it. So that's why it's also in the second room and not in the first room, because it's about the aspirations of, you know, trying to go past your situation.
So who'd you choose, John or Yoko? Who do you see yourself in?
Oh, that's different. I would say Yoko, but also a little bit of John. I'm both.
Okay. Very, very diplomatic.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Amina Ibrahim. She's the curator of No Vacancy, which is a segment of CIMB's October Hotel Art Fair. I think I got that right.
Yeah.
That's all we have for you this week. Next time, tune in for Let's Talk with Sharad Kutin, only on Astro Wani.